do, I would like to now introduce our speaker, JPH. And let's give him a warm King Flair area welcome.
Can you hear me now? I like those awkward silences. I'm an addict. My name's JP. And man, let's start with some house cleaning. If you're part of the committee that put this on, will you stand up, please, and be recognized? Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I know you weren't paid, and that was the only thanks you got. So, I appreciate everything you did to put this together. If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, welcome home. If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, you may have stumbled across the greatest opportunity of your life, and you still haven't worked it out. You know, if you're here and you don't think this is going to work for you, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If you're here and you got a court slip and you hate these effing meetings, and I'm probably going to say fuck and get over it. If you're here and you don't want to get that stupid slip signed, and we all know you forge them, it's not new. Come on, we're you. Man, that was a little premature. My thing keeps drooping. I don't know what that... Hang on. Can you hear me now? If you're here and you're lying about your clean time, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. I want to let you know a little secret. We don't give a shit. We don't. You know, lying about your clean time is kind of like masturbation. The only person you're fucking is you. If you're here at Narcotics Anonymous on a Saturday night and you don't think you have a problem, it's a fucking Saturday night and you're at an NA meeting, you might have a fucking problem. If you're here and you're going, why is that guy saying fuck all the time? It's because I can. And I'll tell you this, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been here a while, the town I came into Narcotics Anonymous in, there were meetings on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so I went to the other program, and they didn't let me say fuck, and you guys did. So I really wanted to hang out with you, because I said fuck all the time. And I apparently still do. So I want to start really early. So, I was born at a very young age. And I can tell you, I'm one of those people who believes I was an addict way before I actually used for the first time. I had stuff that I was doing that most kids weren't doing at a really, really young age. I can tell you that that my family was quote-unquote normal. My first memory is of my dad bashing my mom in the head with a frying pan. I remember the blood splattering. I remember on several occasions biting my father, jumping on him and biting my dad to try and get him to stop hitting my mom. See, where I come from, you don't talk about your stuff. What happens at home, you don't talk about. So I thought this was normal. You know what I'm saying? And so as a young man, I remember in the middle of the night running to my grandfather's house, who lived three houses away, and I wanted him to come back to my house and kill my father. And my grandfather came back, and they caught a little bit of a fight, and my dad left, and a few days later, he took me into this. We had this wooden shed. It was kind of like a cargo container, but I'm really old, and back in the day, before they made the metal ones, they had wooden cargo containers, and I had a whole bunch of mice in there, And he took me in there and he shut the door and he brought in this cat that we had that was half wild, and he threw her on the ground and he tipped my container of mice over, and I got to watch this cat go from mouse to mouse and kill my mice. And he told me, if you ever tell anything that we do in our family again, this is you, boy. You know, I can tell you that I wanted a life that wasn't mine for a very long time. You know, I watched other people in their homes, and their dad was doing other stuff with them. You know, and my dad was the guy, when I was playing sports, everybody was like, "Whose dad is that? He's hella drunk." And I'd be like, "Oh God," right? You know, I can tell you that I wanted to be someone else. You know, I really did. Let's talk about my disease of addiction and how it manifested itself in my life. And to do that, I'm going to tell you a joke. So there's this rabbit. And this rabbit is running through the jungle. And the rabbit comes across a giraffe. And the giraffe is rolling up a blunt. I don't know how. Don't argue with me. Okay? And the rabbit walks up to the giraffe and he says, "Mr. Giraffe, come with me and run through the jungle. Don't smoke that blunt." And the giraffe looks at the rabbit, looks at the blunt, drops the blunt, and the rabbit and the giraffe run through the jungle. And they get a little ways down the path and they come across a turtle, and this turtle's about to pop some pills. And the rabbit looks at the turtle, says, "Mr. Turtle, don't pop those pills. Come with me and the giraffe. Run through the jungle." And the turtle looks at the pills, looks at the rabbit, drops the pills, and they start running through the jungle together. A little ways down the road behind a big rock is a lion, and he's all tied off. He's ready to shoot some dope. And the rabbit looks at the lion and he says, "Mr. Lion, don't shoot that dope. Come with me and the giraffe and the turtle. Let's run through the jungle together." And the lion looks at the rabbit and says, "Hang on." He looks at the dope, drops the dope, and beats the crap out of the rabbit. And the giraffe and the turtle are like, "What are you doing?" He's trying to help you. And he hits it one more time and he says, "You know what? Every time that rabbit smokes crack, I end up running through the jungle like an idiot." And in my whole act of addiction, I was the rabbit. I was always trying to do the right thing, but it never seemed to work out real good. Had these massively fantastic plans that involved turning VCRs into toasters. You know, and so we got tweakers in Visalia, huh? So, I can tell you that I didn't get to Narcotics Anonymous on a winning streak. I didn't arrive here brimming with a whole bunch of hope and happiness. I arrived in Narcotics Anonymous because I didn't want to die, and I didn't know how to live. You know, I arrived via 999 Matthews Road in Stockton, California, and I went and picked my brother-in-law up from jail. That's what I did, and he said, "You know what, and I only went to pick him up because normally it meant we were going to go and do some sort of a score. We were going to do some sort of crime. We were going to do something that he'd picked up on the inside. So I pick him up and he says, "I'm going to go do a Narcotics Anonymous meeting tomorrow. You want to come with me?" And I had no idea what that was. So I went, "Hell yeah." So I don't know what you guys were doing back then, but I got good and loaded, and I went to my first NA meeting, and I liked you guys straight away because you were chain-smoking cigarettes, you had jacked-up tattoos, your grills weren't real good, right? And you were talking bunches of shit on each other outside the meeting. So I was like, "Hell, this is cool." And then we started to go into the meeting, and the meeting we went to was upstairs above a gymnasium. Hey, did you guys like the dope with legs? You know what I'm talking about? The dope that just kept going forever? Man, I like that dope, man. We always were looking for that, right? I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on with me. So I get to the top of the stairs, and there's a guy who weighs 450 pounds. And he's hugging everyone. There wasn't a lot of kind and love and touching between men when I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It wasn't like, you know, that last cop that arrested me was like, "Hey, dude, I feel kind of bad, all locked up. Could you give me a hug?" It wasn't like that, you know. My cellie wasn't like, "Hey, dude, you look a little down. Can I give you a hug?" That wasn't going on, okay? And I felt propelled into this man's arms, and he was so big, I was like, "Man, I can't do nothing to him. If I bust his knee, he's going to fall on me. I'm going to die." And he gave me this hug, and I felt the sphincter of my butthole squeeze really tight as he did it. You know, and I was super uncomfortable in that entire meeting with a leather jacket on because I was so ashamed of my arms. I sat in this meeting, and I was like, these people ain't like me, man. You know, and when the break came, they had a smoke break. I was the guy who bolted. I couldn't. You guys are weird, man. You guys are weird. But I heard one thing. I heard them read this reading called Who's an Addict? And so I want to thank you if you guys were quiet during the readings in this meeting or every meeting. Because that was my first introduction to the literature. And it was the only identifier I had in the entire process. See, Narcotics Anonymous literature says a kind and loving hug can make all the difference in the world when words are inadequate. And that day it did for me. That day it did for me. Remember we talked about dope having legs? Well, that hug had legs. Man, it's well over 21 years later. I still talk about that hug. You know, it was my introduction. The last day I used was July 8th of 1997. I want to tell you guys a really big fat lie and tell you that wasn't the plan. It wasn't like, this is the last one and then I'm going to go forever. It wasn't like that. I was just trying not to use today. July 9th, it wasn't like, well, this is the beginning of the run. I'm not going to be getting loaded ever again. It wasn't that. It was, how do I not use today? How do I do this? See, on July 8th, I showed up, and I was the guy where people were betting that you weren't going to make it, JP. You're just too jacked up. You got some shit in your head that is a little loose, man. We don't pass judgments like that. We don't get to choose who stays and who goes. You know, we don't. July 8th, I showed up at a meeting and I was loaded, you know, and truthfully, I showed up early because I wanted to go to the meeting and you bastards not be there. And then I could get loaded and blame you. And the second guy to walk me through the steps was at that meeting early. And Dan looked at me and he goes, are you okay? And I go, man, I'm shitty. He asked me why, and I said, I got loaded today. And he said something that you guys had said to me a bunch before. He said, you don't ever have to do that again, even if you want to. And I believed him that day. That day I thought, maybe this is true for me as well. Because I'd seen you guys come into meetings and you treat each other so well and you were kind to each other. It wasn't the world I was used to. I mean, there was this one guy named Tom, and Tom had this blue Chevy stepside pickup, and it had a registration on it that was for his truck. I wasn't used to that. You know, he had golf clubs, and they weren't for sale, you know. And he was happy. I mean, there was a light in his eyes, you know. And I wanted that. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't want to keep using. And so instead of working my program, I started working the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and the program of Narcotics Anonymous is kind of a secret. We don't tell you about it when you first get here. If you don't hear it at every frickin' meeting, you need to go to different meetings, man. The program of Narcotics Anonymous. I like to recommend five things. The first thing I want to recommend to you is that you go to a buttload of meetings. That means you completely fill your backside full of meetings and you go to all of them. Okay? What that means, if you translate the basic text, is that it suggests that a meeting a day for the first 90 days is a good idea. I'll say that again. A meeting a day for the first 90 days is a good idea. If you don't use in between, you got 3 months clean. That's crazy talk. But it doesn't say 90 meetings in 90 days. Because I'm an addict. I'm going to go to 12 meetings today. I'm taking 2 weeks off. I can go on a felony campaign out of control in 2 weeks. Okay? So I suggest you go to a meeting every day if it's too hard to do 90 and 90. Think about that. What happens when we go to meetings, whether you're new or whether you're old, if you're a first-timer, if you're an old timer, if you're a some timer, the more I go to meetings, the smarter you guys get. The less irritating you become. the more like me you are. You know, if I don't go to meetings and go early and stay late and go to coffee afterwards, I miss what's really going on. Because when we go to meetings, you can listen, you can talk, you can do a bunch of other stuff. But if you arrive early and you help set up chairs or you make coffee or get involved in service, then we actually integrate into each other's lives. We have interactions and we find out who's having babies and who lost their parents and who's walking through what. Because I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is these are all your new friends. The bad news is these are all your new friends. And if you stick around in Narcotics Anonymous, the gig is they will be. They will be. But if you had friends like I had friends, see, my friends would say shit like, hey, you know, when you go away, I would take care of your stuff, man. And what they meant is they'd steal my stuff. Dude, I got you. I'll get money on your books. They never put anything on my books, man. They didn't come see me. They couldn't get off the block. Okay? Man, I had to go pick up one of my guns from San Joaquin County Sheriff's Department because one of those fuckers stole it. Okay? This ain't complicated for me. What I had is I had using buddies. I had people that I used with. I committed crimes with in order to get more dope. That's what I had. Now you can go, man, my people ain't like that. Good luck. Good luck. So I had a problem saying no. I couldn't say no. I tried to say no all the time. Somebody would roll up with some of my drug of choice, and they'd have it in front of me, and I'd be saying, say no in my head, and hell yeah, come out of my mouth. And this one guy, I was in this meeting, and I couldn't tell if he was Mexican or if he was Puerto Rican, if he was African. And I'm character assassinating him because that's the culture I came from, right? And after the meeting, this guy walks right at me, comes up to me, and he goes, you don't know how to say no. And I go, I could if I wanted. And he goes, I'm going to teach you how to say no. You got to say, no, I don't do that anymore. Please don't ask me again. Oh, I could do that. Okay, well, here's the deal. You got to go home and practice it. That's stupid. You got to practice it in the mirror. That's even stupider, but I'm open to suggestion now. So I go home and I stand in front of the mirror and I go, no, I don't do that anymore. Please don't ask me again. No, I don't do that anymore. Please don't ask me again. My kid, who was 4 then, he's 25 now, runs by and goes, hey, Mom, Dad's doing it again. I've used it twice. My partners rolled up. They got the stuff. They're like, what's up, dude? I hope you're not in recovery. Look what I got. I'm walking up and I'm going, say no. And no, I don't do that anymore. Please don't ask me again comes out of my mouth. And they go, man, you still in recovery? That's awesome. See you soon, Holmes. And they go away and they don't come back. 21 years, man. The scariest thing for people who are using is us. They run from us in the grocery store. They're halfway through trying to hide that bottle of Jack Daniels in their coat. They're like, oh shit, a guy in recovery, put it down and run. First thing I suggest is you go to a lot of meetings. Go to so many meetings that you want to go to meetings. The second thing I suggest is you get a sponsor. I can tell you what a sponsor is not. A sponsor is not an ATM. A sponsor is not a taxi. A sponsor is not a hotel. See, my sponsor, his gig is he's going to walk me through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, the 12 traditions of NA. That's what he's going to do. That's what we agreed. But I want to clarify some stuff. See, it's my job to call my sponsor. So before you act like a bitch and tell me my sponsor doesn't call me, it's not his fucking job. It's not her job. Okay? Your job is to call your sponsor. My sponsor's job is to call his sponsor. See, I'm the guy who says I love my recovery and I work my butt off. It's kitchen tested. I put in some time on this. Okay? But I'm also going to tell you that my recovery is a Fabergé egg and it's really fragile. And if I'm not vigilant about it, crazy stuff can start to happen. And my recovery, it isn't going to go straight to dope. Because it isn't about dope right now. Could be. I'm not the guy who says I will never use again. I've heard people do that in a meeting. I'm like, good luck. I'll see you when you get back from your relapse homes. Because my truth is this. Everybody's eligible. Nobody's immune. You know, recovery is an ongoing process. But for me, anybody else had a problem with shopping? Anybody an online shopper, 2 o'clock in the morning? What the fuck, Amazon? Huh? Right? Is that, huh? Okay. And I love laughter in Narcotics Anonymous because it's identification. It's identification. When we identify, we laugh. When we identify, we sometimes cry. You know? Anybody had a problem with gambling, or is that one just me too? And I know none of you bastards have had a problem with pornography. Because my disease manifests itself in a whole bunch of different ways, and it won't come straight at me. It doesn't work right now. It'll bring me down. Anybody have a problem with anger and violence? You can get hooked there too. I don't know if this means anything to you guys, but it's been more than 10 years since I put my hands on somebody in anger. I'm a guy who jumped tables and threw chairs at people at area meetings when I first got here. You don't fucking agree? Let's find out. Right? I love identification, right? You know, and my story is not unique. My story is not unique. Go to meetings. First thing that the program suggests. Second thing, get a sponsor. Get a sponsor, man. Get a sponsor. Get a sponsor that has something that you want. A working knowledge of the steps. Not necessarily a really nice car, good-looking old lady or old man. You know? Not necessarily a big billfold. Somebody who can walk you through this. Your life depends on this. Okay? I'm not under any illusions. I'm still fighting for my life. Third thing I'm going to suggest is you work the steps with your sponsor. The step working guide. Who got the step working guide? Did you get the... You got the step working guide? Man, I hated that book when it came out because I'm allergic to change. I predate that book. You know, I worked steps way before that book came out, and I'm like, I ain't fucking doing that. And then I did them. I did the steps and the step working guide and went, uh-huh, now I get it because they're awesome. You know, they're awesome. A couple of things, though. If you're in a motorcycle club, but you don't own a motorcycle, are you really in a motorcycle club? Because this is a 12-step program, and if you're hanging out in a 12-step program and working and not working the 12 steps, are you really in a 12-step program? Did I hurt your feelings? I hope so. I hope so. I hope you get a big enough resentment. My name's JP, put me on your 4th step. That you start working steps. See, Narcotics Anonymous, the process of recovery, is an act of change in our ideas and our attitudes. I don't have the capacity to stop being angry and violent. I don't have that. But the process of working steps made that possible in my life. You know? I mean, I couldn't go 2 weeks without some sort of altercation with someone. A decade? You've got to be kidding me. So while we're talking about steps, and I love the fact you guys gave away the literature. I suffer from old bastard disease, so I need to put on my reading glasses. And I'm a step working guy. I got a couple of my guys here, and just pretend I'm Shaquille O'Neal. Somebody have a box I can stand on? So I want to talk about the 12 steps real quick. And my problem is I want to work the 12 steps without telling anybody shit. So I don't want to work them with a sponsor. And the problem with working the 12 steps without a sponsor is I can work all 12 steps in under 2 minutes by myself and become a killer. Well, you don't believe me. Oh, ye of little faith. All right. One, I got a problem. We're good on that one. Two, you might be around. If you're around, you got to take some shit from me, okay? Number three, okay, it's yours. Step four, resentments. I don't like anybody. We're good on that one. Step five, I hate everyone. Step six, character defects. Kind of tall, got smelly feet. You guys talk funny. Step seven, I can get some insults. We got a solution to the smelly feet. Step eight, people I've harmed. I pissed off everybody. I'll just put everyone down. Good. Step nine, direct amends to people that I've hurt. Hey, everybody, I'm sorry. Step 10, did I piss anybody off today? Ah, fuck them. Step 11, hey, Holmes, we cool? Step 12, anybody need a sponsor? I'm ready to help you out, man. I can walk you through the steps. I am now an empty cup. An empty cup has never filled anything. Man, for those of you who are here and going, man, I've got to read and write. Yeah, no, you don't. Because we got the basic text on CD, so you can listen to it in your car. You can also download it on MP3. So you don't really have to read. You just have to listen. But you are going to have to write. And the therapy is in the pen. The active change in our ideas and our attitudes comes in the application of spiritual principles associated with the steps and traditions. The steps are the process that stops me from killing me. See, on May 25th of 1995... I put my little girl to bed. She was in a bunk bed, 9 months old. I'd taken the bunk bed down. There was a rail along the side. There was a whole bunch of pillows pushed in the side because I had a two-year-old who was in the crib, and he was a climber. My ex-wife woke me with a scream of, oh my God. My little girl had kicked out the pillows, had slid underneath the railing between the mattress and the rail, and had hung herself. And I remember telling her, call 911. And I got to this little girl and she was cold, and I put her down in the kitchen on a blanket, and I started doing CPR. And I couldn't get air to go into her lungs. And the paramedics arrived, and they said we got a pulse, and they whisked her out of there, and they wouldn't let us go with her. And I'm following them. I'm following them to the hospital, and my ex-wife is going, if she dies, I'm going to kill myself, and I want to go home and I want to use. That's what I want to do. And we get to the hospital, and the sheriff is there, and he takes us into this little room, and he tells us that she's dead. And I tell him, you got to take me to jail. I put her to bed. This one's on me. This one's on me. You know, and he won't arrest me. And I've been arrested a few times. And he won't arrest me. And I wanted him to. And I got 3 days clean. It's the most clean time I've had since I was 12 years old. And after that, I used different. I used angry. I used hateful. Did a whole bunch of things that I only talked to my sponsor about. You know, I can tell you that my ex-wife moved out of that house while I was gone on a 4 or 5 day run. And I sat in the room where my little girl died. And I put the round into the chamber. And I put the barrel in the back of my throat. Because I didn't want to live, and I was so afraid to die. And all I could think of is my little boy's face. And another man raising my little boy. Back of my head is still there. But if you have that identifier of being homicidal and suicidal, you might be in the right place. You know, if you understand incomprehensible demoralization, you might be in the right place. You know, I stayed out there from 95 to 97, angry and hateful and hurting and destroying stuff. And so when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I thought, you might have a drug problem, but I have a living problem. And then I heard people talk about some of the stuff that they'd gone through, some of the criminal activity that they'd done. And I had a problem with the first step right away because the first words were, "We admitted." And I was like, "I ain't admitting shit, man. You ain't getting nothing from me." You know, I figured you guys were just a field recruiting office for the FBI looking for a few good tellers. And my truth is that over time, I got to write about it all. See, I pulled all of the skeletons out. I got to pull out the stuff about the man that raped me. I got to talk about prostituting myself. You know, I got to talk about some of the violent activities that I perpetrated on innocent victims. You know, and my sponsor, see, Big Dave was the first guy to walk me through the steps. And I only gave Big Dave a little bit because I wanted to find out if some of this shit came back. But the guy that caught me on July 8th, 1997, Dan, he got it all. I gave him both barrels, man. And I can tell you that he didn't say, "Oh, my God, how could you? You're disgusting and I can't work with you." He talked about some of his experiences. See, none of us come to Narcotics Anonymous on a winning streak. It's not like, "Hey, you know, I think I might go bowling tonight, but the bong water's kind of stale. Maybe I could go down to an NA meeting." It ain't like that, right? We come in here with our asses falling off. And if you let us, we'll help to sew your ass back on. We absolutely will. You know, I know that because it was done for me. So let's talk about the 12 steps real quick. Don't judge me for my glasses. Aren't they bitching? So let's talk about the first step. The spiritual principle of the first step is surrender. And then it works out in white. It says, no matter how hard we fought, we finally reached a point of surrender when we realized that we couldn't stop using on our own. And I don't know if you'd ever done the Macarena stop using. Oh, Macarena. Oi. And then you sit in the chair and you sit in the back of that plastic frickin' seat cop car and you literally make a deal with God. Oi, I know you're kind of busy. I'd really like to get out of this one though, right? And I don't know if you have that experience, but for a long time my church was the back of a police car. That's where I prayed, right? The spiritual principle of the second step is hope, and I'm a hope guy. I remember when I got that mustard seed of hope, that possibility that this thing could work for me as well. On page 25 of It Works Out and Why, it says, we step away from the problem and we step towards a spiritual solution. This is a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. And I love that you've got a God, but please let other people get theirs. Narcotics Anonymous says in no uncertain terms, okay, no uncertain terms, the right to a God of your understanding is total and without any catches. And if you want to ask me about my God when we're outside of this room, I'll gladly tell you about him. What I'll tell you is my God has evolved since I got here. You know, if there was a God when I got here, I was pretty sure I hadn't played on his team for a very long time. You know, and I hated him. And I knew that based on my life, he hated me. You know, I arrived in the United States in 1987. 3 days after I got here, my parents called me and said, "Hey, you know those drugs you brought in? You can never come home. There's no statute of limitations on Class A drugs in New Zealand." So I arrived at 20 years old. And I don't know what you guys think of when you think of California, but in the other parts of the world, in New Zealand, I was pretty sure the whole state was Baywatch. So, and it was pretty close. I arrived in Stockton, California in February. Not exactly Baywatch, but at 20 years old, they go, "Hey, you got ID? You can't drink without ID." But Chewy never ID'd me. Never. He's like, "Hey, how old are you, kid?" It wasn't like that, man. And I started down a list of dope that I did, and I ended up with one that I loved. And she wrecked me. And I don't know when I stopped using it and it started using me, but it happened. You know? And I'm the guy who says using worked in the beginning. The solution to life on life's terms was using. But at the end, the solution wasn't working. It was creating so much wreckage in my life, I didn't want to do it anymore. Dope still worked. It just came with outrageous consequences and I didn't want to pay them. I'm a third step guy because while I admitted and I came to, I did make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and then I took it back, and then I turned it over, and then I took it back, and then I turned it over, and then I took it back. And that was just today. Because I still suffer from this desire to run my own life. I absolutely do. And here's how it goes. If my life is a football game and they throw me the football, I'm going to run to Chewy's house and I'm going to trade the football for dope. That's my whole plan. That's been my whole plan. It may take me a little while to get there, but that's the plan. Okay? The spiritual principle of the third step is faith. Step three doesn't force us from having to take action, but it does liberate us from excessive worry about the results. What that meant for me is that I started doing footwork and leaving outcomes up to something that had the ability to make those decisions. When I got here, you were my God. You guys had light in your eyes and you were happy. You know, you were a group of dope fiends. That was my God. I felt something when I got here. I always wanted to belong somewhere. You know, if you were a biker, I'd hang out with you and do biker stuff, and I'd pretend I fit in, but I didn't feel right. If you were a hippie, I'd do hippie stuff with you, and I still didn't feel right. And I felt right in Narcotics Anonymous from that first hug on. I just didn't know that's what that feeling was. The fourth step. If you need to be afraid of a step, don't make it the fourth. Don't make it the fourth. You already lived this. The principle of the fourth step is courage. We may be frightened at the prospect of examining ourselves so thoroughly, it says on page 37 in the basic text. My truth is this. I tell all my guys the same things. I got stuff that has no statute of limitations. I write in code on my fourth step. It's admissible. You know, the next time I've got a prosecutor and a court reporter and a public pretender, I don't want it to be around a written fourth step, okay? But you will discuss it with your sponsor if you're going to work the step thoroughly. Back in the day, the fifth step was a reading of the fourth step. It isn't today. The fifth step is not simply a reading of the fourth step. It's an admission to God, to ourselves, and that's the part I needed to recognize. I'm not just admitting to my sponsor. There's something that happens that makes it concrete when I put it on paper. And when I put it on paper and I read it to my sponsor and to the God that I now understand, it becomes tangible. It becomes fixed. It becomes real, and I accept it. But I really want to encourage you to recognize the integrity associated with the fifth step and not wait to get onto the scary one, which is the sixth step. The sixth step is the fourth step, by the way, is the one that lets us stay. It's the one that makes us feel like we belong here. So please get your fourth step done. Don't do a baseball 1, 2, 3 and I'm out. Okay? Get a thorough fourth step done with the sponsor as soon as you can. And you don't have to read your fourth step with your sponsor. You can choose to read it with someone else. But get it read. The sixth step, the spiritual principle of the sixth step is commitment. Sometimes I felt like I needed to be committed. Character defects are human traits distorted out of proportion by our self-centeredness, causing enormous pain. Recovery World has an exorbitant list of character defects. At some point in my life, 123 of them have been active. I don't write on all 123 when I write a sixth step. I write on the ones that are causing havoc in my life today. You know, but I write on them according to direction from my sponsor. The humility of the seventh step, a realistic view of ourselves and of the world we live in. This is the solution to my six-step character defects. It's where I literally get to present my character defects to a God of my understanding. And the eighth step, I get some willingness. And I was the guy who was like, you know what, sponsor, I don't think I can do this eighth and ninth step thing. There are too many people. I got in some of these crimes at the last minute. I don't know people's names. And I'm so grateful for sponsorship because my sponsor said, all right, poor little stupid, you're not driving anymore. Let go of the wheel. The eighth step is just about the willingness to write the list. And then the ability to make some of those amends will come later in the next step. It says we write the eighth step like we're never going to do a ninth step. And by the way, you're on the first step, so back the hell up. You ain't driving. The steps are in order for a reason. Please don't go charging off making amends to people when you're not ready to make amends, because if you punch them in the face, it's not really an amends. The ninth step is all about justice. It says, not a step that is contained in a time frame. Okay, sometimes we have to make amends to people who are dead. Sometimes we have to make amends to people that we can't make direct amends. The input of your sponsor is incredibly valuable in the ninth step. The tenth step, the daily inventory. If you're familiar with IP number 9, this is all about perseverance. If you've ever done a tenth step, you know, man, do I have to do it again? Please do. Please do. IP number 9 is fantastic. Stick it on your fridge. It's a great place to put it. The 10th step has a great inventory in the step working guide as well. But having some sort of daily inventory where I can look at how I pissed people off today, how I acted inappropriately, how I picked fights, how I was... Man, anybody ever steal pens from work? I got to look at that stuff. Because if I can steal pens, maybe I can steal some copy paper. If I can steal copy paper, fuck it. I could get the copier. Right? That's the problem, huh? The 11th step. I'm an 11th step guy. I love the 11th step. The spiritual principle of the 11th step is spirituality. And today I have this God that's loving and kind and forgiving. And I'm going to give you the best gift I can. I'm going to allow you the time to find yours. Okay. If you are interested in knowing about mine, I'll talk about it. But please don't bring religious dogma into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It kills people. It literally kills people. Had they been talking about Vishnu or Allah or Grandfather or Great Spirit or Jesus or anything when I came in here, I would have ran. I can't stay. That would have made this the territory of the enemy of my life. So please understand that this is not religious. You know, my girl likes to say, if you're looking for a place to save your soul, go to a church on Sunday. But if you're looking for a place to save your ass, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and this is where you'll find a God that'll do that. My friend Jimmy Jam from Southern California likes to say that prayer is like sex. It doesn't matter the position as long as you make contact. And my hope is you find a way that you're comfortable praying. I hope you find a way that works for you. My beautiful Bo Peep fiance likes to drive at about 80 miles an hour in a little red convertible with the music blaring because that works for her. And when it comes to contact with a God of your understanding, please don't fake this. Find a way to be honest about it. I'm a chameleon. What's your God? Oh, I want to love that God. What's your God? Oh, I want to love that God. Oh, that's great. What's your God? I don't take your God. I'm not looking for your God. I got a God. But it took some work. It took some development. And my God has changed over time. So if you're looking for the spiritual awakening, the 12 steps says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Affairs. Yeah, it doesn't mean what you think it means. But today I have affairs. And I wish some other people would get some affairs so they'd stay the fuck out of mine. But here's the truth. Because if you think Narcotics Anonymous, there ain't no drama, man, you got the wrong address, buddy. You just do. You know, there's all kinds of... Just go to area. Just go to area. Hella drama. And your mom ain't there. I do have one little piece. See, often we hear some crazy stuff. We hear, I fired my sponsor. Narcotics Anonymous is a selfish program. I know that's not true. On page 117 of the basic text, it says, Narcotics Anonymous is not a selfish program. In fact, it is based on the principle of selfless service. The 12th step is bound on the idea that we give of our time and our talent and our treasure. By the time you've hit the 12th step, and you've applied some spiritual principles, maybe you're ready to understand the nature of the service symbol. That idea that self and society and God and service all work together to give us a higher point of freedom. See, I'm the guy
I'm the guy who worked the sign. I'm the guy who put newspaper down his pants because it gets cold in the valley, man. It gets cold. I'm the guy who got woken up with a size 12 boot in my face because I'm sleeping in a doorway and cops don't understand that that's all I got. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a winning streak. It wasn't. But I want to point this out. See, if you're the person who comes to a meeting late and you're the first to share and you talk about the same shit, and then you turn and you start talking to the person next to you while the newcomer is pouring out their heart over the pain of active addiction, you can come up to them later and say, I love you, but you already said, I don't give a fuck. You are an example. Nobody listens. Everybody watches. And I got to admit, I'm kind of a dick. No, I'm a lot of a dick. When it comes to Narcotics Anonymous, I protect this. So if you're talking in a meeting, because I got ADHD. So I'm the guy who goes, oh, that guy's on his phone again. Man, are those two going out? That's a big cup of coffee. Squirrel. That's me. So if you're talking, I've been known to turn my fucking chair around. And when you go, what? I'll go, I can't fucking hear them, so I'm going to fucking listen to you. Because if I hurt your feelings, I'm okay with it if it brings about a change in what you're doing. See, from prayer to prayer, this thing has to be honored or it falls apart. The atmosphere of recovery is the responsibility of the group. What are we doing to protect this? What are we doing to recognize that this is not a given? There's a really nice set of doors out there. Who walks out tonight and never comes back? Who walks out tonight and dies? You can be as blasé as you want, but that's the reality. This thing's progressive. It's fatal. If you haven't been to funerals, I'm willing to bet it's that you chose not to go. I've got great veins today. Fentanyl will kill me. Fentanyl will kill me. I have no tolerance. I'm fighting for my life. My disease is kind of like that Terminator. You remember the Terminator? Yeah, when he was in the first movie and he was bad, kind of like Arnold was when he was governor. It absolutely will not stop until I am dead. It doesn't take weekends off. So I don't go to bars. I don't hang out with people who use. And I don't hang out with people who hang out with people who use. You do what you want. But I got to protect this. If you don't like what I have to say, I'm okay with that. Man, I hope you have a sponsor to discuss it with. I hope you look in the literature. Come at me with the literature. Tell me why you don't like what I say. I'd love the dialogue. I'd love the dialogue. See, I need to learn as well. I need to learn as well. So where am I today? I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm getting married in 340 days. Unless I can talk her out of it. And what I know is this. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. There was no direct flight between where I was and where I am today. Okay? There is no path from pulling the dumpster lid over on top of you so that you don't get wet in the rain anymore to where I am today. See, today I'm a school teacher. That was never the plan. I still drive to work and I go, okay, you sure? Because you know some of the stuff I got. But see, my God's got this sense of humor. He's got jokes. So I don't work with regular kids. I've worked with at-risk kids the entire 20 years of my teaching career. And they're knuckleheads. They're future us. You know, I like to think I turn murderers into car thieves. That's something. That's something. But I also know that more will be revealed. And I want to be willing to accept God's will, whatever that looks like. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough. You know, the only thing that Narcotics Anonymous promises is freedom from active addiction. But what we get when we apply these spiritual principles is an opportunity at a wonderful life. I want to encourage you to take risks. I want you to work in love. I want you to recognize that men should work with men and women should work with women. And it's pretty simple. You shouldn't have sex with your sponsor. But make absolutely no mistake, just men working with men and women working with women has never stopped that. I want to encourage you to work the steps like your life depends on it. I want to encourage you to pray. You know, if you struggle with the word God, I'm great with it. 321 times in the basic text it says the word God. If you look at the way we read the steps at the beginning, one time it talks about addiction, but then it talks about God four times directly, and it allures to a God by capitalizing an H four more times. I'm okay if you're not comfortable with the word God. Use good orderly direction. You know, find something that works for you. But a couple of addendums. Don't make it a doorknob. Somebody may take out the door. Don't make it a tree, because I used to have a chainsaw. At very least, use the group. At very least, use the group. So, anybody heard me before? Okay. So I like to sing at the end of my share. And I'm not very good. But I've got you hostage right now, so I'm going to do it anyhow. And this is how it goes. Not stoned, we are not stoned. We're the modern NA family. From the town of Hard Knocks, we have earned our place in history. Let's go to the meeting down the street, through the courtesy of Jimmy's feet. When you're with the program, have a yabba-dabba clean time. You'll get some clean time. You'll have a gay, I said gay, old time. I'm an addict. My name is JP. Thanks for letting me share.